Like, I made a folder. I put them in there. I'm ready.
It's in a
I
deck.
Made myself an Asana task, and then I made a folder on my phone, and I'm ready to go.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Erica. Erica, hello, hello.
Hello. I'm very, very excited to be talking to you, Allie. I've been quarantined with COVID the past week. So I'm very excited to talk to a human being. Hi.
Just
hello.
Any interaction. You're like, hi, hello, talk to me.
Truly. Like, I'm not a huge talk on the phone person if I don't do it often. But this has been a great week of anyone that's called me. I've been like, yeah, I got time. I got time.
We do you want to talk?
We can catch
like
up.
You do like to talk on the phone, though. You're like one of my friends that I talk to on the phone.
Yeah, I do like it. I'm not weird about it. Like, I won't freak out if someone calls me out of nowhere, you know? I'm not like, who died? I'm like, hello. It's nice. Well, I mean, as the gang knows, I've gotten into the voice memo game. So even with texting with friends, I more often hit them with that voice memo. I just feel like it's faster. So much faster and easier.
I have been getting into voice memos in texting recently, and it's actually made me annoyed that my email does not have the same option.
Oh, funny.
Like, it'd be weird to send a voice memo in an email. Like, you would have to, like, attach. You'd have to record it on your phone and then attach it as a file.
Yeah.
that'd be weird. Yeah. So I really wanted to do it the other night because I was just feeling extra lazy. And so instead I just, like, used the dictation, but it wasn't as good.
No, that's the thing. If I had to go dictation or voice memo, I'm voice memo all day. It always messes something up.
Same.
But I have some exciting news to share.
Yeah.
That I did already share with the Patreon, but I have my Comedy Cellar audition this Friday.
Hell and yeah. So excited.
I'm very excited. Also nervous. But anytime I get nervous, I always just say, we're excited. It's adrenaline. It's not nerves. It's adrenaline. That's what I tell
myself. Turn nerves into excitement. Yes. I say that on first dates too.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I like that. It's a rebrand. Yeah. You know?
I love it. I'm pumped for you. That's going to be amazing.
Thank you. I'm trying to just not be in my head about it. I'm trying to just reassure myself like, hey, like it's time for you to do this. Like you've been working at this thing for 9 years. You've been busting your ass. Like you hit your 10,000 hours. Time to play, time to show up, time to play. And I'm finally at a point like career wise that like I feel comfortable being at the Cellar and hanging out there, which was something I never did before. Like I've gone with you to just go like have a drink, see some friends. And it's cause like my class of comedians all work there now. So when I walk in there, I don't feel this vibe of like, what are you doing here? You don't work here. Everyone's just like, oh, hey, Erica, what's up?
Yeah, when I was there, you like knew all the people. It seemed very like I would never have known going and eating there with you, what, twice we've gone now? I would never have known that you used to feel that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I literally used to cross the street on the other side of the street. Like if I was walking down McDougal, I'd be like, I'd be in my head of walking on the Cellar side of the street, which is I'm well aware is absurd to say, but I am not the only comic that would do that of just like, I don't belong here yet. Like, I don't know. It's a weird, it's almost like the comedy pyramid of New York. I see it as like the top of the pyramid. So,
totally. I mean, I would assume that's true. I don't know, obviously know nothing about the comedy world, but I feel like I would have thought that.
Yeah. I mean, it's very like, listen, I'm very appreciative to work any club that wants to work me, both in New York, outside of New York. Like, I'm flattered. I like to work.
Yeah.
My DM's open, you know? but it's just, like, this dream of, like, when I first started doing open mics and stuff, I remember, like, my brother came to the city for a weekend. I brought him to a bunch of my open mics. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to work. I met him after work. I brought him to 4 open mics in one night because he was like, I want to see what you do. I want to see what this is like. And then I remember we went to like a midnight show at the Comedy Cellar.
And oh, fun.
And I picked the lineup specifically being like, hey, these are all these comics like that aren't famous yet that I think are like amazing New York comics like Mark Norman, Sam Morril, Mike Vecchione, Emma Willman. Like it was like all these people I looked up to. So it's just a very cool feeling of being like, oh, I remember sitting there watching this show being like, man, how cool would it be to work here? And now I have an audition that it's just, it's like a very just surreal moment. And
it's amazing.
Trying to not be in my head about it. But I'm very, very, very excited. So,
yeah, I'm excited for you. I love the reframe of turning nerves into excitement. I think that's perfect.
Yeah. And also a trick I've learned, I often will get like my hand will get a little shaky if my adrenaline's really up high.
Yeah.
And I looked something up and it was like to move a little bit, like literally do like a couple jumping jacks, just a couple jumps, shake out your arms, get your blood flowing. Because I talk with my hands and I'm always like, if that crowd sees a shake in my hand, like they'll know I'm nervous. So that was something I did before my court incident.
Maybe that's why Raven on Love is Blind was doing jumping jacks. Do you watch Love is Blind? You do.
I've watched some of it. I haven't watched all of it. Yeah. But it makes sense. It is like a way to, you know, it's like if you're a very anxious person, they say working out every day. It's almost like make yourself too tired that you don't have the nerves or something like that. But anyway, but that's my big news of the week. I'm very, very excited. I feel kind of bad for the show. I have not really had any dating updates, but I've kind of been dealing with a lot of other
people. There's been a lot happening.
I know. I realized, I was like, man, anytime I've publicly been like, I'm supposed to go on a date with this guy, it just doesn't happen. And I'm like, man, there's no continuity in my stories right now on the show. It's like, I just got a date this weekend. And then it's like, it didn't happen. I don't know what to tell
you. Patreon's been hearing a lot. So if you want Erica's dating life updates.
Yeah, the Patreon is. We get a little wild over there, but.
Yeah.
So, doing my best. So how about you? Do you have any fun updates?
I have so I mentioned last week that I had a new matchmaker match coming.
Oh.
And right? Didn't I mention that? I know I said it on the Patreon. I think so. But I hadn't been introduced to him yet because my matchmaker likes to wait until we're able to go out in the next like week or so before she lets us exchange information, which we love. So she sent me his info middle of last week. I loved what she sent. It seemed very – so like without getting into too many details about his personal stuff, he had a very – I'll call it like straight-laced traditional type career path.
Mm-hmm. Like for –
yeah, very corporate for a long time. He's a little bit older than me too, by the way.
Okay.
So he did that for a long time and he was really successful in it. But more recently, in the last, I don't know, 5 years maybe, he's gone back to grad school for something he's passionate about and started a company in that field.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, I think that's so cool.
Yeah. One of my number one things in dating people is like, what are you passionate about? And do you like what you're doing? Like, have you ever asked someone on a date, like, if you could do anything, what would you do? And most people are not doing the thing that they really want to do.
Right. Totally.
So it's so attractive when it's like, wow, yeah, you had the balls to make a pivot, number one.
Yep.
And two, you followed through on it. That's very hot.
Very so hot. So I love that. And he just seems like a really solid guy. He is also ambivalent on kids. Like, he's open to them, but also open to not having them.
Perfect in the middle. Okay.
Yeah. And at least according to what she said, and I know that now after the Nomad, she talks at length with potential matches about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, my visit to Chicago, where I stayed with my friend who has a baby, and I also visited my other friend who has a 2-year-old and then recently had twins, made me more open to kids than I was previously.
That's very interesting. I thought it was going to have the opposite effect of like, okay, cool for a weekend, but like, let me get back to, you know, my kid-free life.
I mean, currently it does. Currently it was like, cool for a weekend, but let me get back to my empty apartment where I can be silent.
Okay. All right.
But it was more so, I think, I don't have any examples anymore in New York City of friends doing the kids thing in the city.
Mm. Yes.
I don't have literally no friends in New York City anymore that have kids. Everybody has left. And a couple of them moved to Chicago. Those are the friends I was visiting. And some of them moved to the suburbs. One moved to California, whatever. I don't have like an everyday example of what I think my ideal situation would be if I did have kids.
So it's tough to imagine it.
Yeah. Like, I have no example of it that I see. So going to stay with my friends who live right in the city and, you know, have a baby, and we were doing stuff, and, you know, on Friday night they got a babysitter and we went out and we were able to like walk to go out because they live in the city, so that we could like get home. Like, it just like, it made it more tangible, I think, of what that life could look like for me specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, okay, I could do this. Yeah. This is an option still. Yeah,
I still don't know if I want to. I'm still undecided, right. But it made it like, it made it more of something that could be appealing, provided I had the right partner.
Yeah. It made it just more real.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Oh, okay. Not that I'm trying to have like a 2-year-old and newborn twins anytime soon.
Yeah.
Because that seems a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
I had the best time visiting them. But yeah, there's definitely a lot going on. Her 2-year-old is so cute. I was reading her stories, and like kids books have come a long way.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like the concepts that they're teaching them. Like, I read her one book that was about evolution and another book that was about recycling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting after it. I like it.
It was like, and the funny part was, is it obviously the book is not called "This Book is About Evolution, This Book is About Recycling." Like, I just thought it was like a normal fucking kid's book. So I'm like reading it to her. And as I'm reading it, I was like saying to her, I'm like, and so see how he's recycling? And then on the next page, it talks about recycling.
And I was like, oh, I got duped.
The whole book's about it. Yeah, I got suckered right in.
Really, those books are just to like get parents to recycle.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, they're like, if we tell them it's for kids.
Yeah.
So anyway, so circling back to the matchmaker match. So he's open on that. The only thing that I didn't get from her blurb about him was what his sense of humor might be like. And like, if he has the ability to be silly, especially given his initial career choice.
Yeah. I mean, also so hard to like convey that when someone else writes like a bio about you, you know?
Totally. But she didn't mention it at all. And in the past, she's mentioned senses of humor.
Okay.
So I was curious. But then over the weekend, I saw him on Bumble.
Ooh. What do you think of the profile?
Loved it.
Oh, that's the best. That's the best.
I actually keep forgetting to send you the screen record that I took of it. I feel like it is a very high risk, high reward situation to see the Bumble profile of somebody that you've already agreed to go out with.
Oh, I would even say I've seen friends' online dating profiles and been like, oh, I'm friends with this person? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, what are you doing? Like, I want to text them and be like, bro, what is this?
No.
Like, you look like a douchebag. What do we do? You know, like, or whatever it is. Oh, it's just jarring. Very jarring.
Yeah.
Or it can be jarring.
No, totally. And I have seen, there was once a guy that I was already, this is before I had a matchmaker, but there was once a guy that I was already like being set up with to go out with by a friend years ago. And I came across his Bumble profile and it made me not want to go out with him anymore.
Which also valid, because I'd say how they're being on an online app is like really their true self. Like, right. There's no one holding them accountable like a matchmaker that you feel like, oh, let me be a little more presentable to the matchmaker. And then you come across their profile and say it's like looking for something casual. Yeah, just like wild shit. You're like, oh. Okay. Turns out.
Yeah, it was nice to see one that his other pictures were in line with the one that I had previously been shown.
Mm-hmm.
Two, one of his pictures, he's in a very dumb costume.
Oh, love a costume.
I love it. And for people that know me, which is people listening, they know that I meant that as the highest compliment.
Oh, yeah. No. Nothing sexier to me than a dude that's down to like get down with a theme, get down with a costume. Like,
totally.
It's partly that goofiness, but it's also, to me, it's like self-confidence that they're like, yeah, let's do it. I'm on board.
They don't like, mind I don't feeling care. Silly. Like, they know, like, they have high enough self-confidence to be silly.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm a big fan. Yeah. Big fan.
Same. Like, I could, it was actually a onesie that he was wearing in this costume. And I was like, he could have been with me and my friends in Pennsylvania in that outfit. Like, he would have fit in perfectly.
I was like, yeah, you're already imagining this man fully in your life.
No, sure. No, I'm not. We don't do that.
A little bit. I don't think that's bad.
I know.
It's nice to be excited for a date. Can we just say that?
Totally. Yes, it is. So that made me, and then I liked his prompts. I liked his bio, whatever, which I'll say something about that in a second. But that made me feel better about the sense of humor and like levity aspect, because his profile was much like lighter and more playful than her blurb.
For sure. And also now we have like a little bit of like a little bit of like a fate feeling, which is nice to have, you know?
Well, also another reason we have a fate feeling. In his bio, this part is like a little bit unoriginal, but we'll forgive him. He said like an idea for how we could tell people we met. And his idea was that I helped him take care of an injured bird that he found on the sidewalk.
something you literally have done by yourself.
I literally did that.
that's just crazy. Oh my God.
What are the odds that this guy has a thing about like an injured bird on a sidewalk when I like very recently had a whole saga about that?
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. I'm truly like speechless on this. I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, what else is going to happen when you go out with this man?
Yeah. So I'm excited to tell him about that. So I saw him on Bumble. I swiped right on him for funsies. And then we matched, and he sent me, because we'd already been texting at this point, he sent me a screenshot like of my profile and said, like, of all the gin joints in all the world.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I like that, though.
It was fun. So we know now that we've seen each other. So I am going to bring up the injured bird thing on our date, because I just think that's so funny.
Great move to start in the second act, as they say. Is like,
yes,
you come
exactly.
In hot,
yeah, jump like, right listen. In.
I got to tell you this story. So weird. I saw that on your profile. I actually ended up rescuing a bird one time in New York.
Yes. And I will have visual aids.
You're going to show. Are you really going to show them like the photos and stuff?
Of course I am.
Really? I don't know if I'd do that personally. I think he's not going to believe you. Like, I made a folder. I put them in there. I'm ready.
It's in a
I
deck.
Made myself an Asana task, and then I made a folder on my phone, and I'm ready to go. I have proof for my story. Oh my God.
Oh man. Can you imagine if I started putting my dating stuff into our Asana?
I mean, it would make me laugh. I wouldn't be surprised.
For those who are confused, Asana is like a productivity tool that Erica and I and our virtual assistants use to like track tasks for the podcast. I just would love if a random pop-up would be like, blow dry hair for date.
Yeah. Mine would be like, check my apps, because I've just, you think being home with COVID, having nothing to do and being laid off, that I'd be like an app fiend. And I just don't have the drive in me right now. And it's just so weird when it's like cold and it is that cuddly time. Usually that motivates me more. And right now I've just felt this like, I think I just need like a break.
I am really glad to hear you say that, actually, because I, as I've been talking about, have been kind of turning the volume down on dating recently, right? And like haven't felt as motivated. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing that out in the world as well from people in our community. And I've noticed a significant decrease in engagement when I do swipe or message with people. Like, I'm getting fewer replies and just like getting less traction. And so it makes me feel better to like hear that from you also of like, that could be happening on the other side, like people feeling less motivated right now. And that could be the driver behind not getting as much engagement.
Yeah. Well, this also is actually kind of a good segue to our question for today.
Very true.
A lot of times, whether you're dating somebody or not dating somebody, people get a little weird around holidays and birthdays and events like that, that are like these little milestones. I almost feel like a lot of men, it's like a fear of theirs to start dating someone like a week before their birthday or like a week before Christmas, because there's suddenly like a pressure of a holiday and they're like, okay, I feel like I should do something if I like this girl. But then it's the game of like, what should we do that's not too much? And I've been on the side of that too, of like dating someone like a week before Valentine's Day. You're like, should I get them like a piece of candy? Like,
I know.
Are they getting me anything? Like that limbo is can be like a little daunting, that makes us all be like, I'd rather just not for now, you know?
Yeah. And I think that it's also interesting of like, so I met the disco ball. I went on my first date with the disco ball the week before my birthday. Mm. And it was also like, do I even tell him it's my birthday? Like, obviously, I didn't expect him to do anything for it.
Yeah, a week before.
Don't tell them. Is it weird after to be like, oh, yeah, it was my birthday since I've known you?
Yeah, I mean, I would go that route like a week before. Of like, because I would assume they're not following me on social media and stuff. So like, they're not going to see it. So it's truly no fault if I don't get this happy birthday or whatever.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that I would say it in passing. But funny of that was partly why I was like, I think I want to end it with the relationship guy, was my birthday was in 2 weeks. And I would want him to do something or like come to my birthday hang. And great advice I got in this realm was like, hey, if you want a man to do something like that, you have to give them the opportunity. Like, you should give them the heads up that like, oh, yeah, my birthday's coming and I got this thing, and or my birthday's coming, I'm doing this with my friends, but like, I'd really like to like have dinner with you or something another night. Like, you have to give people the opportunity to step up. But a week before is like, debatable.
Yeah. You know? I ended up telling him mostly situationally because I was going on a trip with my friends for my birthday. We went to Colombia. Obviously I was talking about that trip and he was like, why are you going? I was like, it's actually my birthday. Like, it was like an easy thing where obviously, again, I did not expect him to do anything. But this leads us to our question of the week, which is an Am I the Asshole poll, not from Reddit, but from a question that I got in one of my Ask Me Anythings.
Yes. Hit me with it.
A listener asked, am I a bitch? These are her words. Am I a bitch for breaking up with somebody on their birthday? She added that, I don't think this part matters, but she added that they've been dating for 3 months. They're exclusive, but not official.
Oh, yeah. To me, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think this that part matters at all, but she did include it in the question, so I wanted to include it here.
I mean, I go, you're the asshole, because we all know nobody breaks up with somebody the day they thought about breaking up with them.
Nope. Literally, like, never. If you do that, like, wow, maybe calm down.
Yeah, a little bit. Or like, clearly if there's like a, you know, I found out they cheated on me.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Some type of clear event.
I should have said that too. When I asked the listeners, am I the asshole in this situation? Like, is she the asshole in this situation? I clarified, no extenuating circumstances. Like, this person has not done something that requires immediate dismissal.
Yeah, no.
That's different.
Yeah, because like I said, pressure comes with these days, and there's a window before and a window after. And I remember having like my high school boyfriend, there was like the Valentine's dance and Valentine's Day. And I started feeling this like, I don't think I'm into this. Oh. And I was like, okay, are you gonna break up with this dude right before the dance and you're all going in your big friend group and you're gonna make it awkward for everybody? Or like, ride it out, see how the dance goes. And Valentine's Day is like 3 days later. And it was just like, those events just made it like telling to me of like, I'm not into this. And it was nothing they did. I just was like, I'm not into this anymore. But I put on my happy face and went through with it.
Yeah. There's like, so I voted yes. I think that does make you an asshole if you break up with someone on their birthday. That being said, I can see the other side of it and like play devil's advocate on my own opinion, because there's also something to be said for not spending important times with somebody who is about to break up with you.
Also a very valid point, especially like a big holiday, and say they're going to meet all your family, or at that birthday party, they are going to meet all your friends and you're going to be like, this is my boyfriend. And it's the big introduction, which again, that's why people bail on these sorts of things. That's why people are shitty around.
You're like,
friends.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I get it, but I'm sitting there being like, literally the day before would be better than the day of.
Yes. And that I think is where I'm falling on it. Like, if you, like you said, nobody breaks up with somebody the first moment that they think of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just entering your head, maybe I should break up with this person, and then you call them and do it. Mm-hmm. So no, like, never. That happened before their birthday. So exactly. Like, knowing that there is an important thing coming up, whether it's a birthday or a holiday or even like something of importance to that person, like,
yeah, a big career thing,
presentation, like, or perhaps a Comedy Cellar audition, like, think about that in terms of like the time before, mm-hmm, as well. I actually realized I didn't think about this when I posed the question. This isn't related to a birthday, but like you were saying about the Valentine's Day dance reminded me of this. My high school boyfriend, we dated for like maybe 6 months. Maybe not. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I knew that I needed to break up with him about a week before my prom. He didn't go to my school. So we had plans to – he was coming to my prom. We were both seniors. He was coming to my prom. I was going to his prom. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to break up with him. Maybe it was more than a week, but like pretty soon before both of our proms.
Ooh.
And I didn't do it because I thought I would be an asshole for breaking up with somebody right before prom and like leaving him solo. I mean, not coming to my prom would be fine because he doesn't go to the school, but like leaving him solo for his prom, right? In hindsight, however, I know I wish he hadn't been at my prom, and I'm sure he wishes I hadn't been at his.
Yeah, because the question is, how long after the prom did you pull the trigger then?
Not very long.
Ooh, yeah.
He also like definitely wanted to hook up after his prom, and I was absolutely not about that.
The classic losing it on prom night story.
I went home. I didn't stay at the after party. I went home.
Oh, God. I mean, if there's ever a more telling sign, like, all right, well, I did it. We took our pictures. I'm at home.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't think about it to this day, but, like, I'm fairly certain that, like, after I broke up with him, that he was like, why did we even do that? Like, why are you in all these pictures with all of me and my friends, you know?
Yeah, I get it. And I also, I sympathize with whatever, being the breakup person. Like Jared Fried actually has a really great joke about this. If he was like, no one has sympathy for the breaker upper, like who has to make the call.
It sucks, and he's, though.
Right. And he also says, he's like, there literally is no good time to break up with someone. He feels
no,
like,
not.
He's
no,
like, I
not.
Once broke up with a girl and she was like on a Tuesday at noon, which is just so funny. I'm like, yeah, a lot of times like people will, you know, never want to hear it, but yeah, if you could avoid a monumental thing or doing it on that monumental day, that's what I'll say. So,
yeah. The pictures thing, I think, is also valid. Like, if there was another guy that we call Waffles, who is, just to orient the listeners, the guy who broke up with me on the 4th of July on my friend's rooftop during the fireworks show.
Wow. Okay.
That was a bad time to break up with someone.
Yeah. You're like, what? Yeah. Can't even hear each other? It's like, I want to break up with you. That one looks like Mickey. I'd be like, you can't even wait till the fireworks are over, man. Come on. Or he's like, I'll break up with her during these in case she yells. No one will hear it. And Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. But anyway. So 3 days before that, something like that, actually the friends that I was visiting in Chicago, the ones who just had twins, they had their big going away party because they were leaving New York, and he's in all the fucking pictures from that party, and they're everywhere. Like, it's so one funny. Of the best pictures that we have of our large friend group, most of whom don't live here anymore, and he's in them.
Ooh, that's, yeah, that's, it's kind of funny, but you're like, oh, I feel so bad. So I'm like, if I knew I was going to break up with someone, I'd be dodging photos for sure. I'd be like, let me take the picture, actually. No,
like,
I don't have
Erica,
to get
like,
in
we it. Can't, we can't see you. Like, move to the side. You're like, it's fine.
See, but this is why I feel like it's such a, you know, douchebag move to like bring a plus one to a wedding that's like a random person you're not really dating.
Yeah, agreed.
It's like, one, your plate is being paid for. So like, whatever gift you're giving, you better at least frickin' double it if you're bringing anybody, let alone a random person. I feel like if you bring a random person, you should have to pay three times whatever you were going to pay. but it's just like, yeah, like most likely they're going to like be in pictures and stuff on this big day. And it's like, what? Who is this? Who's this random guy?
Yeah, totally. So the listeners, though, even though there are a lot of different reasons why there's no great time to do a breakup, the listeners, 94% of them said, yes, you're an asshole for breaking up with someone on their birthday.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
No, me either. And I voted yes, too. I mean, I put the poll up, so I didn't technically vote, but like that is my vote.
Yeah, avoid it if you can. Yeah. Easy avoidance.
I totally agree. Oh, wait, I forgot. I wanted to say one more thing about the matchmaker match guy.
Oh, what?
So wait, I need to stop calling him the matchmaker match guy.
Yeah. Well, you're going to meet him. So we'll come up with something.
Well, so I was just on TikTok Live before this recording. And as I said to you, I like was late to this recording because I was having a very funny conversation on the TikTok Live that I didn't want to leave. And what it was is that This is I'm just going to put this out there. This is going to be very dumb, but I think it's hilarious. So my cats are named Rory and Logan. Mm-hmm. They are named after Gilmore Girls characters. So we were talking about, you didn't realize?
I
had no idea. That?
Sorry. No, I'm not a Gilmore's girl. I'm sorry, everybody. Oh, I've tried. God. I can't get into the show, but if y'all want to DM me about White Lotus right now, I was deep in a Reddit thread about it. So anyway, sorry.
I love Gilmore Girls. Rory and Logan are named after characters on Gilmore Girls. And so we were talking about like if I were to get a third cat, which I'm not doing, but like if I were to get a third cat or if I were to get a dog, like what would the next Gilmore Girl character name that I would pick be?
Okay.
You're really not going to – this isn't going to land for you at all given that you've never seen the show. But but there's this like – wackadoodle character on Gilmore Girls named Kirk, and there's he's nuts, like he's just a weirdo. But there's this one episode where he adopts a cat and he names the cat, I'm gonna get the storyline a little bit wrong, but the cat's name is also Kirk.
Really?
So they start referring to him as human Kirk and the cat as cat Kirk. And so me and the people on the live were like joking about this and they were like, oh my God, like if you get a cat named Kirk, then you also have to get a boyfriend named Kirk. That's really important. And I was like, you're right. Like maybe I should change my deal breakers for the matchmaker, only men named Kirk. And so it was like this whole joke or whatever we were going on. So I've decided that I want to nickname this guy Kirk.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Also, it's kind of fun, Captain Kirk. I mean, we won't call him that, but
I actually kind of like that.
I hear Kirk, Captain Kirk. I think it's a little fun.
Let's call him Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk. I like a full name. For me, it's fun to have a full
name. I do too. Let's call him Captain Kirk. I love this idea.
Captain Kirk? Okay.
Yeah. Because the other thing about Kirk on the show is that he has like a million jobs. Like he's always popping up in different careers.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of like this guy. So yeah, we'll call him Captain Kirk.
All right. I'm a fan.
Yeah. And I do, and I've repeated it out loud to myself a couple times now, and I feel like this, that nickname does have legs, as we've previously discussed. I don't want to pick any nicknames where like in the future I might have to call someone like Spaghetti or something like that.
Yeah. You would like longevity to the name.
Yes. There was a guy that I had nicknamed Sloppy Joe a while back, and I remember thinking like, I cannot start dating this man. Like, I cannot be dating a man named Sloppy Joe.
Yeah, we should try to do like positive names.
Yes.
That we would like to keep around, as that is our goal, you know?
Yes, indeed. So I like Captain Kirk. I think Captain Kirk is a solid nickname.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I think it's fun.
So we're going to call him Captain Kirk. So I just got back from Costa Rica and I decided to just fully lean into my curls while I was there and was so happy that I had all of my Pros hair care
customized specifically for my hair to take with me.
Oh, that's the best. You need it, especially if you're going to be in those super humid places.
Exactly. And I recently actually started trying their curl cream, which I hadn't used before. I've used their shampoo, their conditioner, their dry shampoo. The curl cream is legit.
Yeah, I like all their stuff. Their dry shampoo is one of my favorites. And I was a little intimidated when I first used it because it was like a powder in my hands. Much better than a lot of the like spray can ones I've tried elsewhere. So it's my go-to for my dry shampoo for sure.
Yeah, it was just really great to not have to worry about my hair. Like it sounds so silly, but it's a good relief.
No, but especially anyone who has travel coming up. We've all been there. You try to bring a hair dryer and it doesn't work. And it's like when you're in the heat, trying to dry your hair with heat is a nightmare. Everybody knows that. So it could be worth it to go to Pros and check out what do they have for your natural hairstyle to help your hair dry naturally even better.
Yeah, and Pros is so confident that you're going to bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order, 50, at pros.com/FMH.
So you get your free consultation and then 50% off at pros.com/FMH. That's PROSE.com/FMH.
Okay, but back to the topic at hand. We have our second installment of dating definitions tonight.
Yeah, I want to start with one. I feel like people came at you when, I don't know if you were on a live or like a question about, basically the word is situationship.
Ah, yes.
And there were some haters coming at you about, I think both the rower and the disco ball being like, no, these were situationships or whatever. Which, what do you think a situationship is, Allie?
I think that a situationship is defined by its lack of definition. So it's like a little bit tricky to define because I think it is by nature undefined. But that's not the whole thing. So like, yes, a situationship is something that like quote unquote doesn't have a label. Like it's not quite a relationship. I also think though that it's important that it's like the trajectory of it is also undefined, meaning that like one or both of you is unsure about like what the goal of this is. Like, what are we doing here? Are we trying to become in a relationship or are we just like continuing on in perpetuity as is?
Yeah, I would define it as like a situationship is when no feelings are revealed whatsoever.
Exactly.
Like, so not even saying, hey, this is casual. Hey, this is it. It's no one's talking about it. You're like, we keep hanging out. We keep doing stuff. I'm not quite sure. I would even say you're not even going on dates, but that's my personal thing of like, I wouldn't call it that. But yeah, I would say no one's revealing anything. Sorry.
No, I think that's definitely true. But I do think that you can be going on dates to be in being in a situationship because I actually think that's where some of the like trickiest ones come in because it's like those situations where you're going on dates, you're doing all the stuff that you would do in a relationship, but exactly like you said, you haven't discussed a thing. And so you like don't know if that's what the other person wants to be moving towards. And that's been happening for some time.
Yeah. Like I would say the relationship guy started as like friends with benefits. And then we morphed into a situationship. But it's like hard to call it that because I'm like, I didn't let it sit in that situationship very long. I was very quickly like, hey, is this a date? Like, what's going on? I thought this was casual. But yeah, I'm like, if someone called my thing a situationship, I'd be like, fair, sure. But like relationship, the word is just like vague. So it's like, sure. I feel like it's just the ultimate label we throw on anything that doesn't have a label, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, people like labels that makes us feel neat and tidy. Like, I get that. But I think, like, the way that I see the rower or the disco ball, for example, first of all, I don't think we need to have a word for every single thing. So, like, that was part of my thing. It's like, I don't think they were situationships, but also, like, I don't really think it matters. But the other thing is that in both of those situations, for lack of a better word, we had conversations early on about how we were both ideally looking for relationships.
Right.
And so although that's not where it led ultimately, I don't think that every like early dating stage that doesn't turn into a relationship is by definition then a situationship. Like just because it never became a relationship doesn't mean it was a situationship.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
If like both of you are on the same page, like, yeah, we ideally want relationships, but then one or both of you realizes, oh, but not with you.
Yeah, that's dating.
It's dating. Exactly.
That's what dating is. Yeah.
And like, that's what happened in both of those mm-hmm. situations. And in one situation, I was like, okay, you know, you're not ready. Like, let's try to see this through a little bit, see what that feels like. Oh, it feels bad. Mm-hmm. Let's stop doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the way to live, whatever your situation is, even if you're doing a friends with benefits or whatever. It's like, oh, if it starts feeling bad, time to go.
Yeah. So then how would you then delineate, like, okay, so that's a situationship. You mentioned that you and the relationship guy started out as friends with benefits. Like, how do we define that?
Oh, to me, friends with benefits is someone that you are friends with in some realm.
Yeah.
And then you start crossing the physical line of hooking up. So that to me is just the difference between friends with benefits versus fuck buddy. Is
fuck buddy's like fuck a random buddy, person that you hook up with.
Yeah, is not in your social circle of friends. So right. Like relationship guy wasn't a close personal friend, but we have mutual friends. I've known them a long time. I did consider them to be a friend, and they're someone that I will run into in the future.
That's how I feel about the groomsman, the guy in Chicago. Like mm-hmm. he's a friend of a friend. I met him through friends. We have hung out platonically. We have hung out in groups. But if we're both single, we're going to hook up.
Yep. There you go. Nails it.
But then, I think you're right. A fuck buddy is just somebody like, that's the only connection that you have with that person.
Yeah. And the new term I feel like for this is sneaky link.
I love this term.
Which is fun. And I feel like people say this all the time, but apparently it's someone nobody knows you're hooking up with.
Oh yeah. It's a secret. That's why it's sneaky.
Right. So I feel like, it's just a twist on a classic, or for some people, maybe you kind of have a little bit of a kink with it of like, oh, it's like fun that nobody knows and I'm sneaking around with this person.
Have you ever found that to be fun?
I've never done that, but I have a very good friend who gets off on that.
Interesting.
Like, and has since college. Like, I'll never forget coming home to our house and I see her window screen is popped out like on the ground. And I immediately was like, I'm not going to say her name, but I was like, and I came in the house and I like started yelling her name because I was like, I know something's going on over there.
I have had a sneaky link also in college.
Oh, okay.
It was a guy that I worked with. I had a few different jobs throughout college.
Like campus jobs kind of thing?
Yeah. Also campus and not campus. I was a waitress also, but had several jobs on campus. So I worked with him. So it'll just be vague. I worked with him, and for a few different reasons, it could not be known that we were hooking up. We were both single, just to be clear. Nobody was cheating. But there were a few different like political, social reasons why we shouldn't have been hooking up. Mm. And so we used to text each other, and our code for hooking up was, do you want to have a budget meeting tonight? Or like, do you think we need to talk about the budget?
Allie, who are you? Oh my God.
I've been really cool for a really long time. I don't know why you're just finding this out.
I mean, let me tell you something, Allie. You are very much yourself. You, like, I like how even in your young years in college, you were not pressured at all to like use whatever lingo everybody else was using. You were like, nah, I think this is pretty cool. Let's do a budget meeting.
I've never heard such a low-key shade comment as you are very much yourself. I'll tell you that.
I mean, I respect it. I respect it.
Just talking about budget meetings and picking up birds on the street. Because I know you and I talked about when I was doing those stories that you were like, who is this lady?
Yeah, I was very much like, wow, we are going to be different people on this show. Like, I was like, code. I was like, dude, me and my teammates had a code. We would have to like do skills clinics with kids. And if we ever wanted to talk about like smoking weed in front of them, we would say playing tennis.
Oh, that's funny.
We'd be like, oh, you want to play tennis later? That's like.
They're like, wow, they're very athletic. Yeah. So sporty.
We're versatile, baby.
Yeah. So that was my sneaky link in college. We hooked up like all through junior and senior year off and on.
Oh,
and consistently, even when we were not working together anymore, we would still use the budget meeting lingo.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun to create your own lingo with a person.
It was fun. Know? Like, we, that's yeah, awesome. Like, we had a good time about it. And I'm pretty sure that, like, most of his house knew because I was over there all the time for no reason. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. So we've talked a lot about, I think we can kind of glide past ghosting, but I just do want to call out for the umpteenth time that if you have not contacted them, they are not ghosting you.
Yep.
100% that is really important.
Yes. That's, I don't know what it would be called, but yeah, it's not a ghost.
It's like a mutual opt out, perhaps.
I know, but it's just like, it just sucks. There's not a fun word. There's like literally, there's like eight different words we're about to do that are like versions of ghosting or based
right,
off
but
ghosting.
Nothing for just two people that don't want to see each other anymore.
Yeah.
And don't talk about it. Cause it's not I guess it's just a breakup, but like a double fade.
Yeah. Double fade. I don't know. A blackout? Yeah. We just call it a blackout?
Oh, I kind of like that. Maybe we should ask for suggestions.
Or power outage? It's like everybody lost power.
A power outage!
Something like that. Just like, this power was gone, you know?
Let's ask for suggestions. Let's do this for next episode. After this episode airs, we'll post a poll. Or not a poll, but like a submissions thing. And people can let us know what we should call this. Okay. When, and to be clear, it is going to be when you, like what happened with me and the Padre. Where, like, you go out, but then nobody follows up. And so you do not go out again.
A couple dates, yeah. I know. There needs to be... I can't believe there hasn't been a term created yet.
Right? Maybe there is, and we're just unaware of it. Because there are apparently
I don't know, dude. I found so many terms. I did so much research for these episodes. There's so many terms.
That's true.
Like,
So, the one that I have used before is zombieing.
Yes. Zombieing. Do you want to do the definition?
So, yeah, this is the definition literally says it's exactly as it sounds. It's when someone who ghosted you suddenly decides to come back into your life after a long time as if nothing ever happened. They have essentially risen from the dead, like a random, hey, text, a DM, phone call, whatever. I have one edit here.
Okay.
I don't think that they necessarily need to pretend like nothing's happened.
Yeah. I agree. It's just someone that ghosted you comes back.
They're back. They're back from the dead.
Yeah, they don't get extra points. They're not a zombie because they clarified. Hey,
right? Yeah, just I know I ghosted you, but here I am. Yeah, not a zombie.
Back again. Yeah, I feel like everybody has this. I feel like most ghosters do this, and I've even had people do this of like they ghost and then suddenly like whatever amount of time later, I get a message apologizing about the ghosting. Mm. But it's the worst of when they do that, and you're like. Okay, but you still don't want to see me again. So why? Just
right.
Stay
yeah, why are we here?
Stay away.
You've heard my story of the ghost, right? The guy that I called the ghost from my past.
Yeah.
Like the note. Mm-hmm. So for people who haven't heard, basically this is a long time ago, but this guy ghosted me. Long story short, this guy ghosted me. He had borrowed my roommate's book, never gave it back, whatever. Months later. He left said book with my doorman with a note enclosed apologizing for ghosting me.
Jesus, okay.
Kind of. It was like in huge letters, it said something on the lines of like, sorry it took so long for me to get this book back to you. And then in really small letters, as if like crushed at the bottom, as if he realized like he should probably mention something about being an asshole. It said like, P.S. sorry about last summer.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Why?
I know.
What are we doing?
My doorman totally read the note. Also.
I mean, I was just sitting there being like, what, did it take him 3 months to read the book?
I know, right? Yeah.
Did he like, really want to read
it? Bro, it's not that long.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay. So in line with ghosting, the next one is haunting.
I previously thought that haunting was the same as ghosting or as zombieing. I've been proven wrong.
No. Okay. So haunting is just the act of keeping tabs on your ex via social media. So you might not ever interact in real life, but you view all their stories, like their posts, maybe even leave a comment, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not necessarily someone that ghosted you. It's just someone that you had a thing with at some point, and they're keeping tabs. They're always the first to view the story, as I say.
Yeah. And then... a very similar one to that one is orbiting, which for the definitions that we found seems like exactly the same thing, except it's not necessarily a person that you've dated before.
No, yeah, it's not at all. It's someone that like always talks to you and is like flirty in the DMs or even texting you, but it never moves to actually meeting up with you.
This definition says an ex or former fling, though, in orbiting.
It does?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Oh, wait a minute. I confused that with a different definition. My bad.
Oh, what's the other one?
Okay, so it can be an ex or former fling, but it also can be someone that just does this orbit move. Because it does say, yeah, they just never, it never gets outside of the realm of the social media, of the virtual right. world.
So they're staying like just far enough away.
Yeah. They just
not actually close enough to make something happen. Yeah. Right. They like being on your mind.
Yeah. They like being in your universe. That goes with that word.
With the orbiting. This like hasn't really happened to me.
Yeah.
Almost at all.
I mean, I've had this with, I mean, haunting and orbiting. I've had it was with the same person. It was with Eggs Benedict of after we broke up. It'd be the epitome of like, and part of it was my own fault of like, I kept the door open of like still following each other on social media.
Yeah.
And all it took was like those handful of times of them popping up and doing this orbiting and like coming in the DMs, just being a little chatty, that it made me realize like, oh, I need this fully out of my life, fully blocked. Like,
yeah,
it's not giving me anything positive to like interact with this person every once in a while.
I think there's two reasons why this hasn't really happened to me. One is because I have tended to unfollow and remove as followers people that I break up with for that reason, because mm-hmm. I just want to move on and I don't really want to see it. Two, because this might be hard to believe for the listeners, but prior to finding Mr. Hyde, I was not that into social media in terms of like, I had a private profile. I still have a private profile. It's my personal one. I don't have that many followers. It's like truly friends and friends of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tend to have guys follow me or like invite a social media follow in early dating at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do that move. And I've always been a social media person because it's just like, I don't know you yet. Like,
yeah,
there's no permanence of you in my life. And it's like, why would I want to like keep up with your life if this doesn't go anywhere?
Totally agree. But because my account was private and is private, it's like
your personal,
they don't have the opportunity to orbit me because they can't see my stuff unless
yeah
we've like legit started dating and now have each other on socials.
Yeah. No, it's the way to be. I'm all for it. Because so, you know what?
I mean,
one of my beefs is
different.
One of my beefs with Instagram is and I think this also happens with Facebook. If you mute people, they still pop up when a post says this person liked this photo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I'm like, Instagram, fucking update it.
I did not want to see anything about them.
You're like, I muted them. I don't want to see their posts. I don't want to see their stories. Why do I want to see that they liked my hot friend's picture? I don't want to see that.
Yeah, that needs to get fixed. Like muting should mean you're never seeing their name.
Anything, but that's like a glitch that happens. And that was also a thing that made me be like, oh, I need to block my ex. Because I was like, I can't. Seeing him like other girls' thirst traps is driving me nuts. I was like, I'll show you a thirst trap.
Yeah, also my last two significant exes didn't have social media.
I mean, that's pretty hot. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't like it at the time.
Really? I find it attractive.
I don't find it unattractive. It was annoying at the time.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I wanted to like be on his social media. But he doesn't have it.
I know.
I think now that would be ideal.
Yeah. But funny, a lot of people I know that are big in the social media space tend to end up with someone who's not into it at all.
Yeah, that would be really ideal because whoever I date, if at any point they become not anonymous, which will be a decision that I will make with that person, they will get contacted.
Yes.
And that will not be fun.
Yeah, or it's even like if you're getting comments on the post, they can go and see it. And
yeah, people like reaching out to them, people that like hater, like they have to deal with that when that's not what they signed up for. Like I signed up for it. They did not.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So anyway, maybe Kirk doesn't have social media. We'll see.
Okay. Okay, so these next three I'm a fan of and I think are kind of fun. Well, I think this one everyone has heard of benching.
Yeah.
So
wait, you're a fan of benching? Or you like it as a word? You think
I'm
it's a fan
as the terminology. Okay.
Okay.
I don't bench people. I'm not a personally I'm not like a roster person, if that makes sense. Right? That's another term. Or just I feel like roster and benching are a little bit similar. So roster is basically like this is my roster, this is my team that I have sex with. That's my interpretation of what a roster means. This is my roster, you know, you sub people in, you sub people out. That's what a roster means. And hey, if you want to have a roster, do your fucking thing. Truly, no judgment. I just do not have the time. So benching is when someone doesn't want to date you, but they enjoy having you around for when other people don't work out. So it's like they'll give you enough attention, enough communication to keep you around as an option so that they can use you when the time comes. So similar to sports, it's like you're a bench person. You don't really play in the game. You're a bench player. However, there's always a chance. There's going to be a day I put you in the game.
I hate it.
I mean, I just like the terminology. I think it's accurate.
I know. No, I think it is super accurate. And I just think it is funny how creative people are. And also that they like stay within theme. But I mean, obviously it feels shitty when that's happening to you. And I wish people wouldn't do that. And I learned, because when I first heard this definition, I thought, oh, that's the same thing as breadcrumbing. But then I thought about it some more and like read more into the definitions that we looked up. And it seems like breadcrumbing, that person has no intent of anything ever happening. Like it's purely like ego boost, boredom, just keeping you on the hook. Whereas like benching, you got a shot.
Benching, they're like, I might have sex with you. So that's like it's literally like you're kind of on the roster. You've never been put in the game. You've never been
it's
put
all
in
bad,
the official rotation.
But
you got it. There's a chance. Benching, there's a chance. Breadcrumbing's like, just pure attention.
Yeah.
Okay, the next term, pocketing, which
this is my favorite one. Not because I think it's a good thing to do, but because I just think it just makes me giggle.
Well, this is a new one I've learned since we did this episode of so pocketing. It's also known as stashing. Some people call it stashing. It describes a situation where your partner fails to introduce you to friends and family and other important people in their life, even though you have been dating for a while. So basically,
so it's like an elevated sneaky link.
Yeah, it's like someone that is actually dating you and seeing you. However, you feel like they're hiding you from the rest of their life.
Right.
So it's like there's no Venn diagram of your relationship with them and then their relationship with everybody else.
Yeah, you're like a fully separate entity.
Yeah, which I think I mainly like this word because I was like, well, that's happened to me and I didn't have a word for it. So it kind of feels nice.
Pocketed.
I know, I've been pocketed. Which, funny, I've actually called people instead of like a hookup, I've called them a back pocket of like, I don't know. For some reason, I use the term back pocket to refer to someone like, oh, I was like hooking up with. Like, oh, they're around. They're like right here. They're in my back pocket. But
oh, interesting.
I thought it was nicer than like a booty call. I don't know. It was like my own term I came up with.
They're just on your booty in your back pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I like it.
I like it right here.
I like it from the back. So they're a back pocket. That's why. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess it works. I can work. All right. Next one is called cushioning. This is a dating technique where along with your main piece, you also have several cushions, quote unquote. So it's other people you'll chat and flirt with to cushion the potential blow if your main breakup doesn't work out so that you are essentially not left empty-handed or no eggs in the basket, as they say.
And this isn't cheating, right? Like, it's not like not like you're in a relationship and you've got like peeps on the side. It's like you're dating multiple people in the early stages, but you like one of them the most.
That's how I take it. It says main piece. So it's like maybe it could mean this or this is, you know, this is a discussion for, hey, if you are dating someone and you find out they flirt with people in their DMs, is that cheating? Well, that's up to the people. For me, it would. it would be on that cheating line of like, it's not technically cheating, but I'm not cool with it.
I do not like it.
Yeah. But I see this as early stages. That's how I interpret it. And I think all of us kind of naturally do this if we're on dating apps.
Yeah. Or just in general. Like, I think if you're dating more than one person, I think calling it cushioning makes it worse than what's just the natural act of what's happening. Because I do think it is natural if you're dating more than one person. Maybe it's the person you've been dating longer. Maybe you have a deeper connection with one of them for some reason, but you're still interested in the other person or the other people.
Yeah, that's it's just
naturally
going
to happen. Yeah, like you're naturally going to have somebody that's on your mind more, most likely, even if that's not your intent. Calling it cushioning, I think, makes it a little shitty.
Yeah. But it's put it this way. If you're a monogamous person, it's natural to have a front runner. We'll say that. All right, I guess. So this word wouldn't apply if you're ethically non-monogamous, or maybe it would. Maybe it would. But
maybe it would.
Maybe it would. If you have, what's it called? If you're polyamorous or if you have a primary partner, then this kind of applies to you in a way.
In a way,
you're dating these people, not just flirting with them. So
yeah.
To each their own. I think we have time for one more. I really want to do the next one on the page.
Okay. Groundhogging?
Yeah.
So I really think it's fun too, although it's not fun in practice, but it is the act of going after or dating the same type of person over and over again, but expecting different results. And like, it's kind of like, is it an Einstein quote that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results?
I believe it's Einstein. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, and interestingly, apparently, according to the internet, this term was coined by the dating app Inner Circle, and they did like a whole survey of singles and found that 3 out of 4 people have a quote unquote type, but that dating that type has not made a major difference in their dating life. Meaning like, yeah, you're always dating the same kind of person, but where are you?
Yeah. And it's funny of like, I've seen the opposite of someone has a type and they are like always in a relationship.
Yes.
And it's like, you found a type that technically works if you get into
a
relationship.
It works for you.
But you are still groundhogging in a way.
Oh, very true. If you're like a serial monogamist, like constantly in a new relationship with like the same but different person.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was like, this also could work two ways of type physically. Like you keep dating the same physical type or type like personality, the job they do. Like I got a couple friends that like they were on like in a fireman phase for a while, you know. Like stuff like that, where you're just like, I've dated 3 firemen. I don't know how it happens. One comic I know. Oh, this is so specific. What? She has literally dated 3 different guys that work at like, I won't say the college, but the same college physics department. Or like they're getting their PhD in physics. Yeah, like she was like, are they conducting an experiment of the probability of dating
on me?
Like I keep dating.
So I've been watching Chicago Fire. I'm like. Mm-hmm. I'm now also watching Chicago PD because I've caught up to where that series starts. But now, like, I see firefighters and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what that's about because I just watched so much fucking Chicago Fire.
But it truly, it was a different world. I know.
But I think this about personality, too, for sure. Like, when someone is talking about how they've been ghosted over and over and over again, it's like, not saying that that's your fault, like those, that is a very shitty thing to do and those people are shitty for doing it. But if there is a specific thing like ghosting or maybe getting stood up or insert other thing here that's happening to you over and over and over again, then like perhaps you're groundhogging.
Yeah, perhaps there's a pattern in what you're doing or the people that you're picking.
The people that you're picking, right? Like
yeah.
There's something there where if 100%, like if you, I was talking to somebody recently where like every single person that she had dated in the last, I want to say it was 8 months, has ghosted her.
That's crazy.
And it's like 100% of people are not ghosters. Yeah. So if you have found 100% of the people that you're dating are, those statistics are off. There's something about the selection method that has gone awry.
Right. I mean, this is why often like we all create our own rules for ourselves, like literally from the smallest thing of like a dating app to when you're actually dating someone being like, I did this with this person and I've done this and, you know, it never works out. So now I'm making a rule for myself. So that's why when people are like, what are dating rules? I'm like, I mean, I'm like, you got to make those rules for yourself. Yeah. You got to be like, what are my patterns, or what are things that have happened to me that have upset me? And is there a way I can like maybe protect myself a little bit from that or avoid it in the future?
Yeah. I mean, I think going back to the situationship thing, I think one of the things that came up when I was dealing with the situation with the rower, where he had said, you know, I'm not ready. And I was like, okay, like I'll give this some runway and like see how I'm feeling about it. That is not a pattern that I have come up against consistently where that I'm struggling with. Like continuing mm-hmm. to get hurt by somebody that's not ready to date me is not a pattern in my life. And therefore I felt like I was in an emotional place to take that chance.
Yeah. I got you.
Somebody else who maybe has that pattern and is like, you know what? I've been burned by this a lot. And I historically know that I'm like susceptible to dating people that are wishy-washy like this. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a different rule than I have in that situation. We could go on and on about these definitions. Honestly, I think we have in our back pocket a third installment, because there are even more we like have to wrap, but there are even more like as I'm looking at the list that I want to talk about in the future. So next time we need a topic, I think we do a third installment of this.
Oh yeah, we could talk about this for days. And submit any topic suggestions on the website.
Yes, findingmrwright.com/podcast. We have a suggestions form there, so you can submit a topic suggestion, a question, a guest suggestion, or like any random feedback that you have.
And we got a live show in New York this week.
If you're listening to this in the week that it came out, our live pod that we talked about at the top of the show is on Thursday, December 15th. It's at Musica Club in New York. It's going to be so much fun. We're doing the pod with two guys up on stage, one or two. Should probably nail that down. And hope to see y'all there.
Don't miss it. It's going to be a good time. I'm very excited.
Me too. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.